All right, let's pray. God, we need you today. We need you this year. We need you in our lives, Lord. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to move like never before. God, we are believing for great and amazing things to happen, for your glory to be shown here in this place and around the world. As we look to you, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, our Jehovah, our mighty God, everlasting Father, wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, and so much more. And Lord, as we look in your word, may your word speak to us today. Speak and give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. I know you have and I have. We've learned a lot in 2020. But one thing that really stood out to me is this, that our need as not only as people of God, but people in general, our need for vision, our need for purpose. One thing that I noticed for me personally, and I don't know if this was for you, but 2020 was kind of like that treading water, just trying to keep your head above water, you know, without drowning with a lot of things each and every day, waking up to different news or different things that happens, and so you're just kind of trying to figure out how I fit into this and how to go forward. And so I really believe in purpose. I really believe in vision. The Bible says, without vision, people perish. And I believe we as a church need vision. We as a church need purpose of where we're going and what God's calling us to do. So I begin to pray and seek the Lord for us as a church. What does God want for us? And I begin to pray and for you, what would God have for you? And I believe that, in my heart of hearts, that God wants us to be healthy spiritually, to be a healthy church, and a healthy church has healthy people. And what that means is wide open. I mean, what that means is really trusting God in everything that we do and everything that we say. And so we came up with this phrase, and you've seen it as you came in today, the signs in the door in the pamphlet you got. It's called the One Initiative. And what's behind the One Initiative is this, is that He is the one thing that drives everything we do. He is the one thing that drives everything you do. That God, indeed, if He is God in our lives, then He is God of our lives. We don't have a church life. We don't have a work life. We don't have a married life or a single life. We have a life that is glorifying God. He is we glorify Him and honor Him in everything we do. He is the one thing that drives everything, every part of who we are. And now that is not something I just pulled out of the air. This is biblical. It's actually found in Scripture. And it's actually a prayer in Scripture. And the prayer in Scripture is called the Shema. And many of you probably have heard or even said this prayer. And I'll explain a little bit more about the Shema here in a minute. But the Scripture is found in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5. It is God speaking to the nation of Israel. And it's a prayer that is probably prayed more than any other prayer in history. And it's the foundational prayer or statement verses that is behind the One Initiative. He is the one thing that drives everything. And here's the prayer, Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Now, how many have heard that before? Most of everybody here has heard that before. This prayer, this statement here, is known to the Jewish nation as the Shema. And it's a reminder to each person that God is one and that we are to love God with all our heart, we are to love Him with all of our soul, and we are to love Him with all of our might. Now, the word Shema, and I said I was explaining what that means here, is a Hebrew word, and the word means to hear or listen, to hear or listen, but it's more than to hear and listen. It's got deeper meaning in that. And so I found this video by the Bible Project. It's about 3 minutes long that I believe, if you never followed the Bible Project, I encourage you to follow them. They're fantastic of giving word explanations in the Bible. But here's a video of them explaining the Shema.
For thousands of years, every morning and evening, Jewish people have prayed these well-known words as a way of expressing their devotion to God. They're called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And as for you, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Now, the first word of the Shema is hear or listen, which in Hebrew is pronounced Shema. That's where the prayer gets its name. Now, Shema is a really common word in the Hebrew Bible, and it's obvious why. Hearing is a very universal activity. It's usually connected with the ear, as in Proverbs chapter 20, ears that Shema and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. Now, that seems basic enough, but if you look at the other ways that Hebrew authors can use the word Shema, they use it to mean more than just let sound waves enter your ear. In Hebrew, Shema can also mean pay attention to or focus on. So when Leah, who wasn't loved by her husband Jacob, she has a son, and she names him Simon, or in Hebrew, Shim'on, because, she says, the Lord has Sham'ad, that I am unloved. So Shema means to hear and to pay attention to, and even more. It can also mean responding to what you hear. This is why so many of the cries for help in the book of Psalms begin with a call that God listen. Psalm 27, verse 7. Shema my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful. Answer me. So asking God to Shema is at the same time asking God to act, to do something. It's similar to when God asks people to listen. Like when the people of Israel come to Mount Sinai, God says, if you Shema me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Now, there's a couple interesting things about this verse in Exodus. In Hebrew, the word Shema is repeated twice in this sentence to give it emphasis. If you Shema, Shema, meaning listen closely. But also notice that from God's point of view, listening is basically the same as keeping the covenant. So when God asks the people to Shema, what he means is that they listen and obey. And that's the last fascinating thing about Shema. In ancient Hebrew, there is no separate word for obey, meaning to carry out the wishes of someone who knows better than you or is in authority over you. So in the Bible, if you want to say, I will listen and do what you say, you use the single word, Shema. In Hebrew, listening and doing are two sides of the same coin. This is why later in Israel's history, when the people were breaking their covenant promises to God, the Hebrew prophets would say things like, they have ears, but they're not listening. The Israelites, of course, could hear just fine, but they weren't actually listening, or else they would act differently. And so in the end, listening in the Bible is about giving respect to the one speaking to you and doing what they say. Real listening takes effort and action, and that's the Hebrew word Shema.
All right. So, creative way to explain it and learn more about it, and I would encourage you, if you go on YouTube and search the Bible Project, you can find tons and tons of videos. But the word Shema, these words mean listen and obey. So Shema, to listen, to hear what God is saying, is not just hearing the word of God, but obeying it. We just finished the Sermon on the Mount, and at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says basically this, he who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock, right? And those storms come and it's able to withstand. So it's that idea of Shema, listening and obeying. But he who hears but does not listen is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand and the storms come and the house
falls. We see this throughout Scripture. Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him do what I am saying." In the book of Revelation, Jesus is writing or speaking to, asking John the Revelator to write down these letters to seven different churches. And at the end of each letter, he says, ears to hear, let him do what the Spirit is saying. Let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And so it's this whole idea of Shema, to hear and obey. So it's not when we come to church, when we read our Bible, when we talk to God, it's not just reading for reading's sake. It's not just doing an activity or a project or checking a check mark on our list. When we come into the presence of God and God speaks, we are to Shema. We are to hear and obey what God is saying. And he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." So he says, the Lord is one. So that's where we get this one initiative. God is one. He is the one God. He is the one thing that drives everything. God drives everything. Again, there's no separate lives that we have. He is the Lord of all. And we are to love him. Love him with everything. How? We are to love him with our heart. We are to love him with our soul. And we are to love him with our might. Well, what is that look like? Now, when we love him with our heart, this comes from the Hebrew word labab, which is your inner man, your mind, your knowledge, your understanding, and your emotions. When we say heart, we automatically refer, obviously, to a physical heart, but when we say, "I love you with all my heart," it's this emotions that are coming out of us, right? So love him with our emotions. But for the Hebrews, they didn't have a word for brain. It was this word, labab, which was your heart and your mind. And so when you say, "I'm going to love the Lord God with all your heart," you're loving him with your emotions, your who you are, your personality. You're loving him with that, but you're also loving him with your intellect, with your mind, being renewed with your mind, being transformed by the renewing of your mind, setting your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. So loving God with your heart is loving him with your emotions and with your thoughts and mind. And then the word for soul is the word nefesh, and it's translated as breath or breathing substance. We just says it's your breath in my lungs. It's this soul. It's this idea that when we often think of soul, for some reason throughout history, when we think of soul, we think of this spirit within us. You know, our soul has left our body, or some kind of ghostly figure, right? But that's not what it means. Nefesh is actually your physical body, who you are, what makes up you, your soul, everything within you, your breath, your substance, your how you live, the choices you make, the work you do, the hobbies you are involved in. That is your soul. That is who you are. It's everything about you, your physical body, your choices, your decisions, where you go. You are to love the Lord your God with all your soul. And then the word might is the word mahod, which means much or by force. Now, when we think of mahod, when we think of strength or might, we often think of strength, we often think of power, we are strong or mighty. But the word mahod actually means much or more. It's more of like this adverb adding on to what we already talked about, loving the Lord God with your heart and your soul. It's much of that. Everything more added to it. It's this idea of everything within me, I'm just giving a little bit more. I'm not giving 100%. I'm giving 110%. I'm giving the mahod. I'm giving him my strength to him. And so that is what the Shema is. The Shema, it means to recognize, I recognize God is one and he is God. There is no other God. He's God. And therefore, since he is God, I love him with all my heart, which is my emotions, my mind, my intellect, how I feel. I love him with my soul, who I am as a person, my decisions, my hobbies, my activity. And I love him with mahod, everything, even more so my strength to him. Why? Well, because he first loved you, right? We don't love him just because he is, well, he's God and I'm forced to love him. We love him because God came down and loved us. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world to redeem us. We were lost in our sin. We were lost in our depravity. We were going down a path of unrighteousness. But God loved us before we even knew who he was. And he redeemed us and saved us and brought us out of a miry pit, set our feet on solid ground. Doesn't mean everything goes great, but we have a great God in all the crap. I don't know if I could say that on church, but I just did. We have an awesome and great God. And he loves us and he redeems us and he is there for us. No matter what we're going through, God loves you more than you love him. God loves you. And I would say this, God loves you more than you love yourself. He cares about you more than you care about you. So God loves you. And so vision, purpose, direction, this one initiative. Oh, may we as a church love God with all of our heart. May we love him with all of our soul. May we love him with all of our might. So how do we do that as a church? What does it look like in practice? I want to give you, and as you came in today, you received this booklet. How many received this booklet? If you did not receive it, steal one from your neighbor. Then there's some on the back table. You can grab one there right now, or you can grab them as you leave. And if you're online, you can go to our app and you can download it, or you can go to our website and you can download it. Go to the One Initiative on our website. So I want to share with you, and you'll see it in this book, three commitments we are making as a church. And then I want to share with you four involvements that you can participate in as individuals. And this is, obviously, we're talking about 2021, but this is beyond just a year thing. This is an ongoing, continual thing. So first commitment we as a church are committed to during this one initiative is one church that will glorify God in worship, teaching of his word, and making disciples that make disciples. We are committed everything. Let me say that again with emphasis. Everything. Everything we do is to glorify God. Everything we do. And so therefore we will do that through our worship. And worship is not just singing songs. That's a part of worship. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is glorifying God in your singing, glorify him in your life, glorify him in your giving, glorify him in your praying. That's worship. We will teach the word of God. We will teach the word of God. Let me say that again. We will teach the word of God. We're not going to teach some book that teaches about the word of God. We are going to teach the word of God. And then we are going to be committed to making disciples who make disciples. Because that's biblical. The last commandment that Jesus said is go and make disciples. It is the responsibility of the church to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. We are endeavoring to make disciples, you, who will then go and make disciples, others. So one church that does that. One more is the next one. We are committed to spread the gospel locally throughout our communities and around the world. We are reaching one more person, just one more person for Christ. Some of us, and I'm right there, pray, oh Lord God, would you come today? How many have ever prayed that? But at the same time, somebody's praying, oh God, don't come until my daughter is saved. Don't come until my uncle is saved. Don't come until my son is saved. One person is precious in the eyes of God. And if one person is precious in the eyes of God, we are committed to reaching one more person for Christ. We will do that through local outreaches. We will do it through missions opportunities led by Scott and Marla Boyer, and in missions trips, investing in our missionaries who give their lives to the cause of Christ in dangerous places around the world. We are committed to supporting them and helping them. The third commitment, next one. We commit to investing in the next generation, teaching, preparing, and equipping our kids, youth, young adults for the cause of Christ. There's a great number of youth, when they leave home, they fall away from the faith. We are going to invest in the next generation. Our kids, our youth, our young adults, we want to pour resources, time, energy, focus upon the next generation. Doesn't mean us older folks don't matter. It just means us older folks are going to invest in those younger folks. We're going to pour into them. Now, we, as you've been here for a while, we have plans for building onto our facility, and we wanted to pay off debt. And before we did that, and then COVID hit and everything kind of. But we are going to continue to focus in on paying down debt and building facilities that encourage our youth, our children's facility where the Word of God is preached, experienced, God is experienced, teachers, leaders can have all the access they can to reach the next generation. In a couple of weeks, January 17th, Matthew and Bev are going to be sharing on how we can do that, how we are investing in our next generation, and how each of you can be involved in that. So we are committed to one church glorifying God in everything, one more reaching one more person, and investing in the next one, the next generation. Now, this is not just a 2021 challenge. This is an ongoing commitment. Now, your involvement in this is number one. One chapter. I will participate in one a day Bible reading at least one chapter of God's Word daily. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so we are putting together, you need to put the Word of God in your life. It's the bread that feeds you. Spiritual bread that feeds you. Amen. The Word of God should sustain. When Satan attacks, it's a war of words. Satan will attack you first with words before you will sin. Jesus responded with the Word of God. You need to know the Word of God. And so hiding the Word of God in your heart, in your life. Matthew has put together a reading plan. It's on our app. It's on the website. It's also on paper form for those who don't like trees. On the back, it's a day-by-day reading plan. We've been doing for years the summer reading plan, The Power of One, one day, one chapter, one verse. Same idea, same thought, but it's through the year. One day, one chapter, one verse. The point is not getting through the Word of God. The point is the Word of God getting through you. And I believe slow is the way to go. It's just my personal preference. It's just meditating and sitting and resting upon the Word of God. Now, this daily plan is mixed up with a lot of different things. We have a section that's focused on the Gospels. We have a section that focuses on the epistles, Paul's letters. We go in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus. We look at the kings. We look at David's life. It covers a lot of different chapters through the year. So I encourage you, if you're looking for, I know we're on January 3rd. It's okay. And don't get hung up on missing a day or whatever. Don't get hung up on that. This is just a template for you to follow. It's about just spending time daily, if you can, in the Word of God. And this will help you through that. So one chapter. Next one that you can get involved in is one invite. I will endeavor to invite at least one person to church. As a church, we are committed to reaching one more person, as well as discipling one more person. One of the easiest ways we can do this is you inviting one person to church. I dare to say that if you look at your life and how you came to the Lord, it was because one person began to speak into your life and invite you to know more about Jesus. And so what we want to encourage you to do is write that person's name down, begin to pray for them today, and look for an opportunity to invite them to church. One disciple. This is where it gets tough. I will endeavor to disciple at least one person in their relationship with Christ. Now, here's the problem with church culture, what church culture has created over the years. And it's a culture that I grew up in. And it's this. Okay, I'm going to let the church disciple me, and I'm going to let the church disciple somebody else. So we developed Sunday school classes. We developed Wednesday night classes. We developed life groups. We developed home groups, all these things where the church gives me or church teaches me. But really, biblically, that's not correct. You are to disciple another person. The church is a resource, an extension of what you are doing. It's great. It's great that we have life groups. It's great we have different focus groups like men's and women's and different things. We're going to start life groups here in a couple weeks. Pastor Michael is going to lead this charge and introduce different life groups that you can be involved in that'll help you and resource you. Get involved in those. Maybe invite your one friend to those. But we want to encourage you, and we are going to resource you for you to do this on your own, for you to begin to meet with somebody on a regular basis with the point of discipling them. And you say, well, Dan, I don't know how to do that. That's okay. Google it. I'm kidding. We are working right now on providing material that you can use, put in your hands to help you disciple another person, to reach one more for Jesus Christ. Now, this person may already be a Christian. Doesn't mean they aren't a Christian. It may happen to be not a Christian. But discipling is just taking somebody who's not as familiar with you as you in Scripture or in your walk with God and walking with them and journeying with them and helping them along the journey. That's what it is, being there for another person, to learn together, pray together, lead someone closer to God. So, one disciple. Next, one project. I will participate in or support at least one service project locally, outreach, or a missions event. This goes along with our one more commitment. As I said earlier, Scott and Marla are missions directors, but listen. They can't do it alone. They need a team of people who believe in missions, who believe in outreach, to say, hey, Scott and Marla, let me be part of that team. I want to be a part of that team. And joining them and helping them create a project, to create a missions trip, to do different things within our community, to show the love of Jesus Christ in our community, but also take mission trips, short-term, long-term mission trips around the world, to invest in our missionaries. February is our Adopt a Missionary Month, to invest in them, to pray for our missionaries, to support our missionaries financially, to pray for them on a regular basis. So it's outreach, but it's also in-house, serving within the church. We need, people to serve within the church. It's great and fun to serve on a one Saturday during the month of, you know, June and do some outreach somewhere and check off and say, okay, I did my one project. We need you to serve within the church. Right now, we have not provided nursery. It's not because we don't believe in infants. It's just we don't have volunteers. That's the only reason. Preschool, we have a set of three different people who are rotating and volunteering. We need twice that many to serve just one Sunday a month. Serve one Sunday a month in nursery. Serve one Sunday a month in preschool. Serve one Sunday a month in children's church. Serve one Wednesday a month in helping out with the youth. Serve in the coffee shop. Michael and Chrissy are the only ones doing coffee. Serve as a greeter. We need you to step up and serve. Tom's here every single Sunday doing sound. Every single Sunday. We have worship teams. If you know how to sing or play, talk to Karen. Audition, see if it fits. Serve within the church. Bless others through your talents. Bless others through your time. Bless others through your resources. So it's more than just doing an outreach, but it's saying, hey, I'm here to help. This is my church. I don't just come on Sunday morning or just watch online. I want to be a part and serve in this great church. So serve. And we have volunteer sheet out and back that you can serve. You can go online. There's a volunteer sign-up list online. You can go fill out and check mark which one you want to serve in, and we'll get connected with you. So serve within the church. But your involvement, one chapter, reading God's word, one invite, inviting one person to the church, one disciple, disciple at least one person, help them grow and closer to God. One project, volunteer in a service project, mission outreach, or serve here in the church. We're going to be talking about each one of these over the month of January, a little bit more of how you can get involved. In the back of your book, you'll see this picture right here. And so on that area, this is for you to begin to write and pray on. Who's the one disciple growing? I can't read it. That's too small for me. Begin to write down a person's name of who you're going to disciple. One project. Begin to write out which area you want to serve in. Next one. How can I help in the next generation? Begin to pray for that. One chapter. Where am I going to begin today to read one chapter of God's word? And then one person. Who's the one person I'm going to invite to church? And begin to pray over these in your daily prayer time. Begin to pray over how God wants to use you, the Shema, praying. Now that's where we're coming back to. It begins and it's filled with, and if this ever ends with prayer. Prayer is vital in all of this. Prayer is the key in all of this. We need to be people who pray to God on a consistent basis, seeking his face. If my people will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. If my people, that's you, praying and seeking God and saying, oh God, pray the Shema, oh God, you are one. May I love you with all my heart. God, I want to, the way of the emotions in my heart, the way I think, the way I act, my business practices, the work that I'm involved in. God, I want to love you with all my heart. God, may I love you with my soul, who I am as a person. May I love you today. The steps that I take, may they glorify you to show that I love you. The people I talk to, may I show the love of God to them. May I love you today. And Lord, I love you with much of my strength. I love you more than I ever imagined. Pour into me the seed of your love so I can love you even more. Oh God, let me love you that way. Let me Shema you today. Let me love you with everything I have and everything that I do. And we we will see this one initiative. He's the one thing. He's the one thing that drives everything. And I'm praying through this. This is not just some program. This is just building spiritual habits in your life to go glorify God. And as you build these spiritual habits in your life, oh man, I believe God's going to do some mighty things in your life. And it won't come without challenges. It will have challenges. But as you keep your eyes on Him, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these other things will be added unto you. Oh, would you seek the Lord your God? Because He sought you. He loves you. He cares for you. He is deeply, deeply in love with you. Oh, may we love the Lord our God. May we love Him with all our heart. May we love Him with all of our soul. May we love Him with all our might. So would you stand with me at this time? And we're going to pray this prayer right here. Would you pray with me as a closing? Lord, You are one. I will love You with all my heart. I will love You with all my soul. I will love You with all my might. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Take this home with you. Take the Bible plan home with you. Begin to pray about what God wants to do in your life in 2021.